Comey waits for the 3-2. Here it is. A swing, a high fly ball, left center field. He's going to join the 500 club. Eyes on the run. He's at the track. He's at the fence. Leaps. Makes the catch.
Yes.
He took away a home run. Wow. What a play. Ramirez has it. Throws. Burley picks a perfect game. People going crazy here at U.S. Cellular. He's mobbed by his teammates. A perfecto.
White Sox. White Sox.
White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. The latest news and views from players, coaches, and direct from the front office. White Sox Weekly on the proud new home for Chicago White Sox baseball, 89 WLS.
And welcome in to this weekend's edition of White Sox Weekly. I'm Andy Mazur, your host here on 89 WLS. With you till 8 o'clock, we've got a lot to cover in a short hour. And a couple of guests will be joining us here momentarily. One very quickly, as a matter of fact, Rick Renteria, who is the brand new bench coach for the Chicago White Sox. He will join us. And for those of you that don't know Rick Renteria, I've never really heard of him other than the fact that he was a one-year manager of the Chicago Cubs. This is a man that certainly has paid his dues throughout baseball and was a minor league manager, a minor league coach. He was actually an original Florida Marlin. He was on that 1993 team, actually played a couple of years for them, and before that played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So a guy that understands what it's like to be a Major League Baseball player, to be a minor leaguer, to be a minor league coach, to be a minor league manager, to be a big league coach. And, you know, unfortunately for him, for 1 year being a big league manager, and now after a year out of the game, the White Sox have brought him back to be the bench coach for Robin Ventura. And to me, a great move. I think it's an excellent move by this organization. To bring in a guy that that not only has the passion and the temperament to deal with younger players, because you assume that there's going to be some younger players on this roster going forward. He also has the temperament to deal with managers that may or may not agree with him on every play. And that's what he's there for. He is the dissenting or the approving or the try to be the two steps ahead of the manager kind of a guy. And I think the White Sox are getting a guy that fits that bill to a T. Now, I know this conversations began a little while ago, even last year, after Renteria was pushed aside for Joe Maddon. And, to me, it's a no-brainer because the guy was available. And lucky, I think, for the White Sox is that Buddy Black did not get the Washington Nationals manager's job because I think that's where he was headed. I don't think he would really admit to that, but we can maybe try to ask him that coming up here in just a few moments. But, you know, I mentioned the big thing, too, about relating to younger players, and not only just the young players in general, but there's a lot of Latin influence in the clubhouse. There's a lot of Latin influence in the minor leagues. And, you know, you say what you want, but I think that it does mean something when a coach can relate to a player in his language. And I know that there's a lot of folks that say, well, you know, learn the English. Hey, a lot of these guys do, and a lot of them do their best. But every once in a while, the heat of the moment, you know, the heat of the battle, you know, you're trying to remember not only what you're supposed to do on the field, but the guy can communicate to you. And I think that that gives some of these younger players a little more confidence when they're going onto the field. And I know that sounds like a real small thing, but I think if you asked guys like, oh, Starlin Castro for the Cubs or Everett Cabrera, who used to play shortstop for the San Diego Padres, the fact that they were able to communicate with Rick Renteria the way that they were, I think inspired these guys a little bit to understand more about English and to maybe feel a little more confident when they go out of the field. Small things, but small things do add up in a long 162-game baseball schedule. So we'll ask Rick Renteria about that. I know he's been kind of taking the high road as far as things that went in his 1 year on the north side of town. And he's the kind of guy that, people ask me to get in touch with him because, full disclosure, I've known Rick for a long time. I've known Rick since he came to the Padres Major League Club in 2008, and back when I was doing some play-by-play for the Padres between 07 and 2013. And, I was asked a couple of times by writers in town to get in touch with him when the Cubs were doing what they were doing to see if he had any comment. Man, I knew the answer to that because I know what kind of guy Rick Renteria is. I knew that Rick would not want to get into the fray and that he would want these guys to do what they're doing without having him interfere or getting into the newspaper. That's the kind of guy you're getting, White Sox fans. The kind of guy that's not afraid to kind of exist in the background and do what he can to help a ball club win a game, win a series, win a month, you know, and those are the kind of things that I think Rick will do for this organization. I think he'll work wonders with Robin Ventura. I think that younger managers, and I don't mean by young in age, I mean young in experience as far as big league baseball is concerned, I really believe that they can use a guy who has been around the block or two or three times. And he understands not only, again, like I said, what it's to be a player, a minor league guy, manager, and a manager here in the big league. So we'll get to Rick Renteria coming up here in just a few moments. We'll also talk to Dan Hayes, who covers the White Sox for CSN Chicago. He was actually at the GM meetings, and will give us a bird's eye view of what happened there with Rick Hahn and the brass of the White Sox down there trying to lay the groundwork for some deals, perhaps, try to figure out what life will be without Alexi Ramirez. Maybe he comes back. I don't know. That's been out there, too. That's been reported. We'll get the latest on that from Dan Hayes, who will have some other information, I think, for us, too. There's a couple of guys who are certainly opening some eyes in the Arizona Fall League. Adam Engel is one of the guys you'll hear mentioned because this guy is hitting over 400 in the Arizona Fall League. And that's, you know, this is good competition in the Arizona Fall League. This is not like single-A baseball in the lower levels or instructional league. This is where a lot of teams will send their top prospects, kind of see what they can do, and see if they have a legitimate chance to get to the big league. So we'll mention him. We'll also mention Tim Anderson. That's a name you're going to hear as well, because like I pointed out with not offering the contract there to Alexi Ramirez, you kind of open yourself up now to, okay, is it a free agent situation? Ian Desmond is out there. I've heard Jimmy Rollins' name mentioned a little longer in the tooth. Maybe that's not such a bad thing if you're going to bring the kid up as well. Is he ready? Well, those are the kind of things we'll talk to Dan Hayes about coming up here in just a few moments. And I know that the catchphrase is out there now, especially after the White Sox experienced what they did in 2015 and what the San Diego Padres experienced in 2015. Both these teams won the offseason. You don't want to win the offseason. You want to win the season. And I get what was going on there. Both teams are trying to load up. And I tell you what, to a man, when Adam LaRoche was acquired by the White Sox, I thought it was a great deal. This is a guy that hits home runs in every ballpark. And I'm thinking, he's going to come to U.S. Cellular Field and just smack. He's going to hit 35 home runs. Okay, that didn't work out. Is he done? I don't think so. But, there are a lot of people will say the transition from the National League to the American League, this, that, and the other. Kind of hard to fall upon that type of excuse right now because you see the National League teams so many times now with interleague play basically every day of the season now. I still can't get used to that. Opening day for some teams are going to be National versus American. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little late getting to that party. But, again, we'll talk to Dan Hayes about that. Also, we'll get you those updates about the Arizona Fall League. Spring training, believe that or not, right around the corner, the White Sox announced their spring training schedule, which includes a couple of games at the very end, exhibition games against the Padres in San Diego at Petco Park, just before the season gets underway. Information coming up to you about Sox Fest as well and the Ace Signing Day, a great community event by the White Sox. We'll tell you more about that coming up. And if time, your phone calls as well, 312-591-8900. That is our telephone number here. We will take our first time out here on White Sox Weekly. And when we come back, we'll be joined by the new bench coach of the White Sox, Rick Renteria, here in 89 WLS.
Passion, pride, tradition. Starting in 2016, the White Sox lay here. 89 WLS.
And welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm your host, Andy Mazur. As I mentioned just before the break, special guest joining us here in our second segment of our program, the very new bench coach of the Chicago White Sox. His name is Rick Renteria. And Ricky, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it. It's great to talk to you.
You got it, Andy. Good to talk to you.
My first question to you is, how much did you miss the game? I mean, you were out a year and probably seemed like two or three to you, but how much did you miss it?
Oh, well, I think I missed a lot of the interaction that you have when you're obviously involved with the game. I watched quite a bit of it, being away from it, but I think most of anything, just being able to talk to players and people around the game and things of that nature.
And I'm sure that's kind of an effort too to stay top of mind and to stay the fact that you're out of it, but yet you're still trying to stay in it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it's kind of when you're in it, know, when you're away from it, you're still kind of watching things and paying attention to what's going on around you. It'd be kind of difficult to just shut it completely off, especially since I've been in such a long time.
Rick Renteria, the new bench coach of the Chicago White Sox, joining us here on 89 WLS. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time about the Cubs situation because we're talking about the future here and your new job here. But, just for me, I mean, I've known you a long time. I admired the way you took the high road in the whole situation. And I know that you had plenty of opportunities to talk about the situation, but chose not to. Was that a difficult thing for you? I mean, I know you understood, but even understanding, it's still got to be difficult.
Well, I think it's like anything. I mean, we're all competitors, so everybody feels that they can do certain things. I think that the reality of what happened was just, the organization felt that they wanted to go in a particular direction at that moment. There was a hard feeling. I mean, again, as I mentioned before, I mean, it's kind of tough to hold on to things, especially when there are a lot more positive things going on there than people might imagine. And so it was just nice to see them have the success they had, the kids that were coming through, the guys that were there, and then the guys that joined them. It's nice to see them have the success that, everybody was hoping that they would have, and we're glad that they had it. I mean, but that's the path. I mean, as far as we're concerned right now, we're moving forward, and I'm looking forward to working with the White Sox.
Let's talk about that, too, because I want to know the timeline and when this actually started to materialize for you and chatting with Rick Hahn and also getting a phone call from Robin Ventura.
So Robin actually reached out last year when this all kind of went down in Chicago. He reached out. I'm not sure where they were at. I think they were both together. If I remember right, they might have been at the winter meeting, but I remember Robin just reaching out, extending his hand, and saying that he wanted to talk to me about the possibility of joining their staff in some capacity. And at the time, I just told him that I was going to kind of take a step back and regroup, and he completely understood. And we kind of just kept the lines of communication open. This year when the season finished, Rick Hahn reached out again. Was talking to him during the process. I was actually interviewing for a managing job with the Marlins at the time, so there was still a lot of things going on my end. And then Buddy was interviewing for the Nationals. He had asked if I would come on board with him to be his bench coach. And then I got a few phone calls from a few different people, but the reality was Rick and Robin had extended a hand earlier, and I felt that if things didn't go in terms of me managing or if things didn't go with Buddy, that, after talking to them, it seemed like it might be a good fit.
Yeah, I'm sure that has a lot to do with things, too, the fact that they reached out when they did in the midst of all that that craziness. And had you ever been associated with Robin Ventura or Rick Hahn? Had you ever met either of those guys or talked to them previously?
Not other than the time they spoke to me after I was relieved in Chicago with the Cubs. But, again, being in the game, you just hear a lot of good things about people. And so you remember that. And I think that it was just solidified or validated once I started having conversations with them.
Rick Renteria, the new bench coach for the Chicago White Sox, joining us here on White Sox Weekly. And kind of along those lines, does it help you as a bench coach to work with a manager that you don't really know? I mean, because there's no real preconceived notion about what this guy might do, and you can actually freely maybe bring up your ideas?
Well, I think truthfully, all I'm going to try and do is, make it as easy as I can for him to do his job. I mean, we're obviously have our own different styles, I guess, but they may be very similar, until we start working with each other, we'll get to know that part. But I think for the most part, they made me feel comfortable enough that I could, extend whatever information that I gather and things of that nature and share it with him and the staff. And, basically we're all just trying to help everything move forward. And, we're just trying to use our time in the game, our experiences, and then, you know, obviously there's so much information in the game today, so you have to filter through it and see what's useful and what's beneficial to your club. And, you know, it's funny, when I was talking to Rick, I said, you know, sometimes people think old school is dumb school, and that's not really true. I mean, you know, we've used information for a long time, and I think that basically in the game, people have now found ways to quantify certain things, and you still have to be able to filter through it. I mean, there's so much information. You got to be able to allow your players to trust their instincts and their skill set as they're playing the game.
I know this is probably an answer that will take you a while to get to, but kind of in a thumbnail. I mean, people hear the term bench coach thrown around a lot, and I've had the benefit of following you around a little bit and watching you do your thing in San Diego. But basically, you're there as a sounding board, correct? And that's part of it. But yet, you're doing a lot of prep work for a game and for a series, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, you're obviously everybody's getting the information. Robin will be getting the information. The coaches will all be getting the information. But you try to combine that also with, you know, watching video and watching, you know, the tendencies that the clubs have been, you know, acting on at certain times during the season. And so there's a lot involved. I mean, there are hours and hours and hours of preparation before the series. And I think that when you go into a series, you want to be as prepared as possible. Again, you still have to make in-game adjustments, but at least you have an idea to what, you know, how you want things to move forward, how you want them to play themselves out, and hopefully we can do that and allow the players to go out there and do what they do.
A few minutes remaining here with White Sox bench coach Rick Renteria here on 89 WLS on White Sox Weekly. Have you had a chance to really kind of get in touch with the kind of talent that you're going to be dealing with here with the White Sox? Have you had any opportunity to kind of start studying the organization a bit?
You know, I'm in the process, you know, right now of just starting to gather information. So it's like anything. You want to know, you got to get a feel for what it is that you know, who the players are, but a lot of that's going to come from, you know, the insight and the observations of the staff and the people that are there. Obviously, you know, through watching video and things of that nature, I'll also get a kind of a feel of the skill set, the things that they're doing well, and things that they need to work on. But you know, that's something that, you know, the organization I'm sure has been going and doing continually. It's just part of the process that every organization goes through. You're always constantly trying to find ways to improve. And, you know, hopefully, again, I'm coming in as a new person, but, you know, I feel very comfortable with everything that's been talked about since I joined the club. And I'm looking forward to, you know, getting to know these players on a more personal level.
As we wrap it up, I know you're on the West Coast right now, but how much are you looking forward to getting back to Chicago? I mean, you only had a brief moment to enjoy this great city, but I'm sure it rubbed off on you.
No, it's a great city, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things where one of the benefits, you know, people talk about when you go work for somebody, especially the big league, you know, some of the cities that people point to as being the ones that they really love going to, and Chicago's definitely way up there at the top. Of the cities and the big leagues, and you can see why people enjoy going and living and working and playing there. The fan bases, I'm sure, on both sides are tremendous. People are into the game. And it's like anything, you know, you want to give them the best that you possibly have, and they walk away with a smile on their face after the end of a ball game, and if they don't walk away with a smile on their face because there's a loss, hopefully they walk away with a little smile anyways because their team gave up the best effort they could possibly get.
Amen. Rick Renteria, thank you so much for taking the time. Congratulations on the new job, and we'll look forward to seeing you there at U.S. Cellular Field.
Thank you, Andy. Talk to you soon.
All right. Rick Renteria, kind enough to take a few minutes out of his Saturday to join us here on White Sox Weekly. He'll be joining the White Sox for this year as the brand-new bench coach for the White Sox alongside Robin Ventura. We'll take a quick time out here and get you ready for more on White Sox Weekly in just a moment on 89 WLS.
Tune in to 89 WLS for award-winning news, traffic, and weather updates at the top and bottom of every hour, every day. 89 WLS.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Andy Mazur here, 89 WLS. 312-591-8900 is our phone number. We'll try to get some calls in here as well. We go to the top of the hour on this week's installment of White Sox Weekly. Well, this man got a nice little vacation out of a plum assignment for CSN Chicago. Dan Hayes, who covers the White Sox for CSN Chicago, was in Boca. And, Dan, appreciate you taking some time.
Yeah, this is weird, Andy. I mean, we're talking, and I'm not sure if we're supposed to talk White Sox or Padres or Aztecs and Toreros. Or
yeah, truth be told, this has been like an old home week for me because, you know, being in San Diego for 7 years and then coming back, getting to know Rick Renteria over that time and also getting to know Dan Hayes over that time, it's kind of like, yeah, you're right, a little confusing at times.
Yeah, for sure.
But we're on White Sox Weekly, so I'm going to say that the objective is to talk White Sox baseball.
That should be, there's plenty to talk about.
All right, good deal, because you were down there at the GM meetings, and what did you learn? I mean, about how maybe Rick Hahn wants to approach this offseason?
Well, I think that, really, I've said it a couple times, that it could go in a bunch of different ways right now, but I think the way that they're going to operate is they're going to continue this process that they've been in since, you know, August of 2013, where they're just looking to add pieces to the core. And, you know, it's hard to do that, to get young, controllable pieces, but at the same time, they've done a good job of adding here and there. And I mean, we're talking about an entire roster turnover. Tyler Flowers, their starting catcher, is the longest tenured guy. Avisail Garcia, who got acquired in 2013 at the trade deadline, is the second longest tenured position player at this point. So, I mean, this has been a long process. It's going to continue. I think they're going to try. I wouldn't surprise me to see them trade a starting pitcher to try and get another young guy, something like the Hector Santiago trade that netted Adam Eaton a couple of years ago. And, you know, I mean, I think they feel like to get the pieces they want, they might have to dip into their pitching, which is obviously a strength for them. And, you know, I mean, it's tough to do, but at the same time, you have to give up something to get something. And if they want to get young and there's, you know, interest in their guys, they might have to do a little bit of that. But I don't accept that or expect them to do, you know, too much, too deep of a dig in there with the pitching.
You know, unfortunately, these days in baseball, you know, people get kind of pigeonholed into words. And, you know, the rebuild word is always one that kind of sends shockwaves through a fan base. And I know that There's a quick way to do it. There's the long road, and there's kind of an in-between road. And I guess how would you address that to Sox fans when you hear the word rebuild, but then you hear, you know, we can do it. We think we can do it rather quickly.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, they've been doing the rebuild. This is what it's been the last 2.5 years. We've seen it. That roster in 2012, 2013 had run its course. You had a bunch of guys who were getting up there in age, and, you know, value was, you know, kind of slipping there, and it was clear that it was time to turn things around. And, you know, so to call it a rebuild, I mean, you know, they've been trying to do it, like you said, quickly. They don't want to do the Houston, Kansas City model where it's dragged out forever. You know, I mean, I think the Royals had 13 number one picks in the top 10. I think it was from like 1999 until, you know, a couple of years ago. They had 13 top 10 picks. I don't think the White Sox are aiming for that. You know, I think they want to do this a little faster, and they have some of those pieces in place. They were able to add Jose Abreu without giving anything up except for the money, and that was a big deal coming off the international market. Didn't have to give up a first-round pick or a protected pick to get him. You've obviously drafted Chris Sale, and he's become one of the best pitchers in baseball. So when you have pieces like that, it's easier to see it going quickly and adding pieces. Obviously, they brought in a bunch of new guys last year. Most of those guys are still around, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't think they're going to have a massive overhaul this year because you look at some of those contracts, they're pretty hard to move, whether it's Melky Cabrera or Adam LaRoche. It's David Robertson's owed $35 million over the next 3 years. So those guys probably will be around unless some team with a big pocketbook is willing to come in. And, I mean, you look at what the reliever market, that Craig Kimbrel trade yesterday, what it cost, and I don't know. With $35 million, that's, you know, Kimbrel was 2 years and an option on the third year. And I think that's a little bit easier to do than a $35 million deal for a closer. So I think a lot of the guys that were here last year will be in place with the exception of a few. And they'll try to find some new guys to fill in third base, possibly find some more offensive catcher or potentially a shortstop, but I think shortstop might be the easiest for them to fill internally at this point.
Dan Hayes, CSNChicago.com, covering the White Sox, joining us here on White Sox Weekly. You mentioned shortstop. Any surprise, really, in the Alexi Ramirez situation? And is there any interest in maybe having him come back?
Well, I think both sides have said the right things, but I think both sides are probably looking to the future. You know, I think with the White Sox, he's given them, Alexi Ramirez has given them great 8 years. You know, an all-star in 2014, Gold Glove finalist, Silver Slugger winner, you know, that was the peak of things. But there's been a little, you know, I wouldn't say it's regression because he had a great second half, but that first half was tough. And when you have somebody like Tim Anderson about a year away, I think you kind of just look for a guy to fill that gap for a year. And Alexi Ramirez at this point, you know, he's 34. He probably wants a 2-year deal. They could have brought him back for the 1 year at $10 million. But that's the steep price to pay for a guy who was probably one of the worst players in baseball that first half of the season. I know there was some stuff going on that probably was keeping him from playing as well as he could. But, I mean, he rebounded in the second half. But, you know, I mean, for $10 million, you want a guy that's producing a lot more than he did. And, you know, defensively and offensively, he was just having a really bad year last year until about July 1. So I can see why they'd probably want to move on and look elsewhere. I don't know that they would try to sign anybody. It's a very thin market at shortstop. And really, frankly, trading for somebody, that's pretty difficult too, because shortstop is such a desired position. I mean, we saw what some of the teams, you know, the Padres last year, how much they struggled to find a shortstop. And it's just not easy. The Dodgers gave up a lot to get Jimmy Rollins. So I think Tyler Saladino could be the guy at shortstop. You know, it's possible Alexi Ramirez return on a very affordable 2-year deal, but he's going to find some really attractive offers out there. You know, it's really him and Ian Desmond are the top options. And I would imagine that he'll get somewhere 2 years and $16 to $18 million and be satisfied with that.
Do you think the decision on that shortstop situation depends on whether or not the organization feels that Anderson is ready to make that jump? I mean, if he is, you know, I mean, obviously you want a kid to play as much as he can when he's here, and maybe have a veteran as a backup.
Yeah, I think really that they want him to play his way in. I don't think they're eyeing 2016 opening day, just because we're talking about a guy that until May of 2013 was in junior college and only has played about 4 years of baseball, 5 years of baseball at this point. So he's really still new at it. He's made some really tremendous strides there. Talked to a couple people both inside and out the organization who say, man, the kid makes fantastic plays all over. He still needs some work on the routine stuff. But you can look and see that, you know, the errors have gone down every year. I think there were still 25 this year, but, you know, even a good pro or Major League Baseball shortstop is going to have 16, 17 errors. But he was at 43 for that. So, I mean, the fact that he's coming along, he's making the strides and the progress they want to see. But I think they would like to take some time with him. I mean, he's a very talented player. He's a little aggressive at the plate, but you can see the signs that he could be a very good baseball player, perhaps an impact guy, especially with the speed and the there's a little bit of pop in that bat. But I think, you know, taking time and letting him either play his way in, if it's so good that they have to bring him up by midsummer, that's a great thing for him. But I don't think they'd be upset if they had to wait till September or even 2017 to bring him along, just so they don't rush him to the majors. Just, you know, I mean, it's such a premium spot, and to force him there when he's not ready, I think they want to kind of let him play his way in.
A little over a minute left with you here, Mr. Dan Hayes. Your thoughts about Rick Renteria joining this club? You know him a little bit from your days in San Diego as well.
Yeah, I thought it was a great move. You just bring in an experienced guy. Mark Parent was a very experienced guy, good baseball voice, and if you're going to lose that at that position, you want to bring in another guy. And Rick Renteria obviously was by Bud Black's side for 3 years and then called the shots on his own. And obviously the Spanish speaking is a plus when you got a lot of Spanish first speakers on the team. So I really thought that was a good move to get him. With the names thrown out there, he's motivated. He's a positive guy and works well and just has a great resume. So, you know, they did a good job with that.
Dan, you did a great job here as well. I appreciate you taking the time.
All right, Andy, thanks for having me, man.
All right, Dan Hayes of CSNChicago.com covers the White Sox on a regular basis. He was down at the winter meetings, or actually not the winter meetings, the GM meetings in Boca, and some interesting thoughts there about the way Rick Hahn may try to get this club going here in the offseason. Again, you don't want to win the offseason. You want to win the regular season, and unfortunately, the White Sox had an issue with that this past offseason when, again, frankly, I thought some of their acquisitions were pretty good. Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't work out on the field. So we'll see how they decide to attack that here in the next couple of months here as we move forward toward the winter meetings. And we'll update you on a couple of the deals that did go down earlier this week and let you know about that as we continue here in just a moment on 89 WLS.
Breaking ball, strike three. He struck out the side. He's got 14. They stand for sale.
Chris Sale with one of his 274 strikeouts in the 2015 season. And speaking of which, nice little transition there for you. The Sox Fest coming up, and it's coming up very soon, to January 29th through the 31st. And the White Sox have announced an exclusive Chris Sale bobblehead as the weekend package premium item for Sox Fest 2016. Sponsored by Miller Lite, Comcast Sportsnet, and Sox Fest 2016 again at the Hilton Chicago, Friday the 29th through Saturday, Sunday the 31st of January 2016. And of course, as mentioned, Sale broke the White Sox single season record for strikeouts with 274, bad boys, surpassing Hall of Famer Ed Walsh. And the record only lasted 107 years. So no big deal there, huh? To receive the exclusive Sox Fest 2016 Chris Sale bobblehead, fans can purchase weekend packages at whitesox.com/SoxFest. The weekend package includes a two-night stay at the Hilton Hotel, up to four Sox Fest 2016 weekend passes, and special Friday night access as well. Now, the only way to purchase weekend passes is by securing a two-night Sox Fest hotel package through whitesox.com. And those hotel reservations at the Hilton Chicago. And you can get information by getting onto the website at whitesox.com. All the information about weekend passes for adults and for kids and for all the other information about who will be on hand signing autographs and whatnot will be available at whitesox.com/SoxFest. But that premium, pretty cool to have yourself a limited edition exclusive Chris Sale bobblehead. And that is the premium item for the 2016 edition of Sox Fest. Andy Mazur with you here on White Sox Weekly as we roll toward the top of the hour. 312-591-8900. That is our phone number here at 89 WLS as we get closer to the winter meetings. Seeing some more deals starting to be made here, and some of these probably were at least talked about at the general manager's meetings that happened the last weekend in Boca Raton, Florida. And San Diego seemed to be the most active team at this point. And a couple of guys, or actually one guy they acquired in that crazy offseason they had last year, Craig Kimbrell, their closer, sent off to Boston for a package that included four pretty decent prospects. So the Padres trying to restock their very fledgling farm system with one trade, and it can be done. It doesn't matter if you drafted these guys or not. If they're in your farm system, they count, and they can help you eventually down the line. And there's a lot of attention being paid and more attention being paid to the prospects coming back to teams, even more so than some of the veteran names that you've heard of going the other way. So Craig Kimbrell goes to Boston. Joaquin Benoit also from the Padres to the Seattle Mariners. That was a one-for-one type of deal with the Mariners. The bigger deal, I guess, was the Atlanta situation with Andrelton Simmons, the fine young shortstop, heads to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The prize back was Eric Ibar, a very steady, good-hitting shortstop, comes back from the Angels to the Braves. And it was being reported that as soon as the Braves made that trade, the phone was ringing off the hook for people that wanted to trade for Ibar. So that might not be a done situation at this point. Also, the Arizona Diamondbacks today sent Jeremy Hellickson, right-handed starting pitcher, to Philadelphia. Minor league pitcher comes back, and a couple of other coaching moves announced today in Big League Baseball. Matt Williams, the former manager of the Washington Nationals, returns to Arizona. He will serve as the third base coach on that staff. And Mark Kotze, who most recently was the assistant hitting coach for the San Diego Padres, now lands as the bench coach with the Oakland Athletics, a team that he actually played for during his big league career. And that's pretty much what it looks like as far as the major league transaction wire is concerned. And there was a one rumor that was floating around there that I'm not sure has a, a ton of credence as far as going forward. But Yoenis Cespedes and his agents actually did meet with the White Sox and made some kind of a presentation that was apparently rather impressive. Whether that means that Yoenis Cespedes will be in a White Sox jersey or not, probably too early to tell. It would be hard for me to think that, especially after we just chatted with Dan Hayes talking about the way that Rick Hahn plans to approach this offseason with trying to stockpile young, controllable talent, kind of flies in the face of it. I mean, it would be a great, exciting player to have on your team. Team in with Jose Abreu, and you've got something there. But again, I know there was a meeting there. So what will happen from that, we'll have to kind of wait and see how that transpires. Did want to mention one other thing about transactions. We mentioned Rick Renteria, the bench coach now for the White Sox, but Greg Sparks also brought on to the White Sox staff as the assistant hitting coach. And it's interesting that that name sounds familiar. His father was actually on a coaching staff for the White Sox back in 79. And Greg was the bat boy the night of Disco Demolition Night. So he saw firsthand what was going on around there. And I think we'll probably have some good thoughts and some good yarns to spin there about that situation when you get to meet him finally, whether that be at SoxFest or at spring training coming up. Speaking of spring training, we'll get you ready for spring training. The schedule was announced. I mentioned earlier that there will be a couple of exhibition games to end it, and that will all be at Petco Park in San Diego. Also want to tell you about a great community event the White Sox are involved in. We'll get to that as we wrap things up on White Sox Weekly in just a moment on 89 WLS.
In 2016, White Sox baseball. Experience it here. 89 WLS.
As we get set to wrap up White Sox Weekly, I'm Andy Mazur here on 89 WLS. And a couple of things we want to mention to you as far as the upcoming White Sox season here, spring training. Believe it or not, we're talking about spring training. Thursday, March 3rd. That's when the Cactus League season will get underway. That is the 2016 Cactus League season. The White Sox are going to play their first official home game in Glendale on March the 4th against the Cleveland Indians. And as I mentioned, the exhibition season will close with a couple of games against the Padres at Petco Park. That'll be on Friday, April 1st, and then Saturday, April 2nd, as the White Sox are scheduled to open up on the West Coast at the O.co Coliseum. That is the lovely facility that they have for you in Oakland, California. That'll be April 4th as the White Sox take on the Oakland A's. If you're interested in season tickets or packages for spring training, whitesox.com/spring. You can get 29 game plans. That is all the White Sox and all the Dodgers games with the shared facility there in Glendale. And 14 game plans for all the White Sox home games play there. And you get some mini plans as well that are available for you as well. So tickets will start at just $9. So get on the web right now, whitesox.com/spring, and that will get you the information you need to make that trip to Arizona. I have a feeling that you'll want to go down to Arizona after the winter time here in Chicago, though it's supposed to be nicer this winter, if you believe those meteorological people with El Nino. And as a golf fan, I wondered why they were talking about Sergio Garcia all the time in the weather. It didn't make any sense to me. The White Sox are also really deeply involved with the community, and this is a great event that'll be going on Tuesday, and that will be at U.S. Cellular Field. The White Sox hosting their annual Amateur City Elite Ace Signing Day ceremony for student-athletes who have committed to colleges and universities. So this year's event is going to be a big milestone for the ACE program. It's going to set the number of total of student-athletes to go on to higher education to more than 100 participants since 2007. And since the beginning, more than 55 ACE alumni have committed to compete at the Division I level. 16 have been selected in the MLB draft. So this is a pretty big thing for the White Sox to be doing here, making sure that some of these folks that can't afford to head to college, didn't get a scholarship, can at least get a little assistance and financial help and get onto college and hone their skills and hone their craft and perhaps come back and pay dividends in the long run, be a farmhand for the White Sox and maybe, you know, one day be on the big league squad and pay it back. They're paying it forward right now. Maybe they'll get paid back one of these days. As the Sox created the ACE program designed to support players in Chicago who lack the financial means or family support to otherwise receive quality baseball instruction and create opportunities to be part of a team, preparing participants to succeed both on and off the field. So this event coming up on Tuesday, that'll be at U.S. Cellular Field. White Sox infielder Micah Johnson will be on hand. And also Del Matthews, the White Sox assistant director of player development and scouting, will be on hand. So that'll be a great event. And again, great to see the White Sox giving back to the community here and helping out some of those youngsters. While we wrap things up here, I want to say a special thanks to our guests tonight. Rick Renteria, the brand new bench coach of the Chicago White Sox, joined us for a few moments earlier in the show. Dan Hayes of CSNChicago.com, who covers the White Sox, gave us some insight into what went on at the GM meetings and also about what might be coming forward as far as the offseason is concerned for the White Sox. Big help to Don Kleppen as well for producing our program. Hope you enjoyed it here. White Sox Weekly. I'm Andy Mazur saying good night here on 89 WLS.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly. And starting in 2016, hear the games here. The proud new home for Chicago White Sox baseball. 89 WLS.